There's a whole bunch of rules to follow if you want to make sure you don't lose Survivor, but there's only one rule to follow if you don't want to lose money this holiday season, and that's do your shopping with the 12 days of deals on Amazon.com. Get the best deals on everything you need and help support Rob as a Podcast whenever you start your Amazon shopping with our link. robhaswebsite.com/Amazon. For our friends in Canada, use the link robhaswebsite.com/Amazon CA. Or just click on the banners in the sidebar of robhasawebsite.com. Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cicerino here, back to talk about why the latest Survivor, Abby Maria, lost in Survivor Cambodia. And here with me to talk about all of his rules that he has fine-tuned over the years of why Survivors lose the game, it is the great David Bloomberg.
Hello, how are you?
Very good, David. How are you?
Good, good. I just finished buying the last remaining presents for the season by clicking on the Amazon link. Rob has a website.
Oh, my heart has grown three sizes bigger. Thank you, David.
No problem.
Okay, David, thank you so much. Good to have you back here for our final How Blank Lost before we get to the finale. So a lot to get through today, setting us up for Wednesday night's big finale. Six people are left in the game. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling like it's going to be a very interesting finale, very jam-packed, more than we're used to, I think.
More than we're used to. Let me ask you this. Do you feel like you have a good read on this going into the finale, or are you sort of like, boy, anything could happen. I have no sense of where this is going.
I feel like I have a good read, but our predictions so far have been hit and miss. So we'll get to that later, I think, to discuss where we might be going. But, you know, at least I was right in my prediction this week that the Women's Alliance was a total red herring for viewers. So, you know, that prediction worked.
Okay.
I wouldn't say any of our other predictions were any good this week.
All right. Well, let's dive in. Where do you want to start before we jump into these rules?
I wanted to start with a couple of things. You had a heck of a week of Survivor podcasts already. And I have to say, I really enjoyed hearing Boston Rob knock down the terrible idea of bringing strong competitors to the end.
Yeah.
You know, he said it really well. It's a game.
Can I just say for a second, how good was Boston Rob?
Boston Rob was very good. He was excellent. You know, I've seen lots of people on Twitter and Facebook talking about one of the best podcasts, not just this season, but potentially ever.
Wow.
And that's, you know, as much credit to you as to him.
He was really, really good. And, you know, and I feel like there's a lot of people that say, well, he played four times. That's why he won. Like, the guy really knows his stuff. Like, there are other people that also know their stuff, but, you know, he was talking about it in a way that really is like a window into, you know, how he is looking at the game through that. And, you know, if people feel like, oh, well, it's just because he played so many times, that's why he won. Like, it's definitely, the guy knows what he's doing.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, I know that if you played four times, you would win at least two more times.
From your lips to God's ears. I don't know about that.
But
I don't know about that.
Yeah. But, you know, having played four times, it does give him insight into winning, losing, being at the end, not making it to the end. So I just, you know, liked all of those viewpoints. And like I said, he hit it on the nose when he's talking about this as a game, and he would know that, you know, better than potentially anyone. And I get into debates with people sometimes because, you know, they'll talk about, well, this person made that decision not because it was a game, but because they wanted to come off as a better person, or they wanted to seem like a good guy. You know, the Colby decision is a good one to hearken back to. But to my mind, and the way that I have always frame the game in these rules, is it's a game. The object is to win $1 million. If you want to do something else, if you want to be a nice guy, if you want to create a better society, great for you. But that's not what this game is about.
Yeah.
So I was glad to hear it from him too.
Okay. So that is some good framework to look at the vote off of Abby Maria.
Yeah. Yeah. Just a couple things before we get to that, because, you know, not only did you have a strong podcast with Rob, but the voicemail show was also strong. And I'm not just saying that because the guy you had on has most of the same last name as I do.
No, the voicemails with Mike Bloom was really good, too. We've been locked in pretty good on these recaps these last couple of weeks.
Yeah. Now, I would argue with one thing that you guys said. I would vote against the social media blackout because I know you mentioned that I get some information that way, and that's certainly one reason for it. But I also think it's just a lot more fun to be interactive with the players. I don't think at this point you can go back in time and ignore social media or block it out in this day and age. I mean, look at Amazing Race. They're going all in with social media.
Yeah, I mean, the thing with the social media, sure, it's fun, but I do feel like that there is a little bit that does, for people that are in the know as we are, and somebody like myself who sort of deals with this professionally, there is like certain things like you could read between the lines on things of like, okay, well, you know, this person is not going to stab this person in the back, or you know, this person. And sometimes we get a bad read on it. But for the most part, I feel like it's somewhat telling the people who are sort of like in the beginning of the season, like really pumped up about the season, and the people that are sort of like meh. And I don't know, I feel like I wouldn't mind it if they weren't allowed to tweet during the season.
Well, I would mind it, but I know what you're saying, but it can also give us, you know, red herrings, like when Steven got so upset early on at you and Josh.
Mm-hmm.
It looked to a lot of people like he was going to be out early, and he was upset about that.
It did. I think that was more of a window into Steven's psyche as a whole rather than a spoiler.
Maybe a window that should remain closed,
yeah.
You know, but yeah, there were a couple other things, like it was said how Steven and Andrew suddenly were friendly after the game. If we had been paying close attention, I think that would have said to us, or at least to me, how did they get to be so close in such a short time period? Well, the main way would have been for Steven to end up in Ponderosa.
Mm-hmm.
And things like that. But on the flip side, you have Kelly and Spencer, who don't seem to be at odds with one another, even though Spencer, you know, turned on her at the last tribal council. Now, maybe that means something going forward. Maybe it doesn't. Maybe they're just okay with each other. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it's an extra element, and maybe some of them need to be a little more careful, but I enjoy it for what it's worth.
I mean, it's not a major thing that's bugging me too much, but I feel like I think I did like it better in San Juan del Sur. I mean, it makes it for the podcast to be easier. We get a lot of gold out of the survivors tweeting, but it doesn't matter either way to me too much.
Now, also going back to know-it-alls, I want to give you guys some insight as to what I think happened, because you talked about how Abby was a goat and it was somewhat surprising that she was sacrificed. But I have the answer to that.
Okay.
Because Spencer is a Cubs fan.
Mm.
And we know the old tale that you need to sacrifice a goat for the team to start winning.
So you're saying that her name was Abby Murphia?
Yes, yes, that could be. The translational issues. And so he went out to play Survivor. He sacrificed a goat, and the Cubs made it to the playoffs. If he had just sacrificed one more, they could have beaten the Mets.
Wow. Okay, well, thank goodness. Thank goodness.
But, you know, just in case that's not the real reason she was voted off, I guess we should get into the discussion of why Abby Maria lost.
All right, let's get into it. First rule is scheme and plot. Did you feel like Abby Maria was scheming and plotting?
I do feel like she understood the need to scheme and plot, but she just couldn't quite do it the right way.
Mm.
She knew she needed to lock in alliances or voting blocks or whatever they're calling them these days. And for most of the game, she usually found herself on the right side of those. But I don't feel that was necessarily because she was the one playing other people. She was being played like a pawn.
Yeah.
So her last tribal council is a perfect example of this, because it was used against her instead of for her. In several interviews, Abby Maria said she thought she was sitting pretty and was the swing vote like Spencer. Now, some viewers had wondered how it could be a blindside when she'd been a target previously. But because she believed she was in that good spot, which we saw with her talking about who she should bring along, that made many of us laugh at home. And I heard the same was true at Steven's Survivor viewing party. But that was the way she saw herself at that point. She truly was blindsided when it turned out she wasn't the one making the moves at all.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you saw her on there voting for Keith, and it took a little bit of mental gymnastics at first to figure out why she had done that. The people I know who don't listen to the interviews or don't watch the bonus content on CBS.com, they just all come to me instead. They were really confused by it. But pulling together the info from all those sources, the basic story is that Tasha's plan was to pretend there was an all-woman alliance, and they were targeting Keith. But the real plan was to target Abby Maria. In the meantime, Tasha apparently thought that Abby Maria and Kelly didn't really believe in the Women's Alliance either, and were probably targeting her. So you have all these, you know, fake alliances floating around. But it is clear that Tasha did actually bamboozle Abby Maria into thinking there really was a Women's Alliance.
See, I don't have the same exact read on what happened. I have a similar read as to what happened, but from what I understood with Abby Maria, based on the secret scene where she talked about how she couldn't go forward with Kelly Wentworth. She described Kelly Wentworth as being like a Tony, that she felt like it would be as dumb as Wu was, and we know that what Abby Maria thinks of Wu, to go to the end with Kelly Wentworth as it was for Wu to go with Tony, and that's why she was going to go with the Tasha, Jeremy, Spencer side of things. And I think that she thought that those guys were voting out Keith, and I think that she thought, because she was annoyed with Spencer too, so she felt like Spencer had lied to her. She must have felt like Jeremy and Tasha also lied to her, and I thought that she ultimately, that group that she was left with at the reward challenge, I felt like that she did come around with them and think that she was voting with them against the minority of Kelly and Keith, but the joke was on her because those guys were actually voting for her at that tribal council.
I agree that she said she couldn't go to the end with Kelly, but my read on those videos and interviews was that she was going to be part of a women's alliance and then get rid of Kelly and go forward with Kimmy and Tasha. But you're right. There was a mix of different plans going on there.
Because why was she mad at Spencer then?
Who knows why Abby Maria is mad at anybody.
I mean, she said about Spencer in her Gordon Holmes interview that he can die in a fire.
Well, because he helped vote her out. I mean, who knows? Trying to get a read on Abby Maria. I wouldn't want to try that. You know.
I don't know. It's hard to say, but I feel like that she was trying to break away from Wentworth, because I feel like Keith would be the person that you would target if you were trying to break away from Kelly, because Keith is the Kelly ally adjacent, whereas I feel like you would try to go for either Jeremy or Spencer if it was truly a women's alliance. Well, Spencer had immunity, but I feel like right. Jeremy would be the more likely person to go after.
Yeah, well, I think that what happened probably was Tasha was saying, you will show your allegiance to the women's survivor by going after Keith.
Yeah.
And that's what, you know, Kelly did a periscope, as she often does, after the episode was over. And she said the same thing. She verified that Abby Maria wanted to vote out Keith to show her allegiance to the women.
But if there really was a women's alliance in place in Abby Maria's mind, why didn't Kelly Wentworth and Abby Maria vote the same way?
Well, we'll probably get there, but...
Wouldn't Abby and Maria and Kelly Wentworth have had a conversation about, like, okay, Women's Alliance tonight? Like, they had been working together up until that point.
I think, as we'll talk about more later, I think Spencer has been playing both sides.
Mm-hmm.
I think that much is clear, because Kelly was also mad at Spencer. So I believe that Kelly thought she was voting with Abby and Spencer and Keith, but... instead, Spencer didn't vote with her, Abby didn't vote with her, and she found herself just kind of out in the cold there.
I mean, I'm still having a hard time of reconciling then why Kelly didn't think there was a women's alliance, if Abby Maria thought that there was a women's alliance, and they thought that they were working together.
Yeah, it all gets a bit convoluted. And I think that, you know, maybe Kelly did think that there was a women's alliance, that it just wasn't happening, though.
Yeah.
Or that it wasn't going to work. And I think that Abby, like we had said, Abby found herself in the middle. She thought she was the swing vote.
Mm-hmm. But why did Kelly vote for Tasha then?
Because I think that was perhaps the other swing.
Mm-hmm.
Was if Abby had voted Tasha and Spencer had voted Tasha, then the game swings that way.
Yes.
But instead, Abby goes off on what appears to be her own, but she's thinking that there's this women's alliance, whereas Spencer stuck by the other group. And at the same time, I think he told Kelly, even though he was telling her that he was voting for her, I think he also told her that Abby was the target of the other group. And that's why Kelly didn't bother to play her immunity idol.
See, I feel like what happened was that I think that Jeremy and Tasha, whoever you want to give the credit to, we have no idea. We'd have to wait until after the finale is over to ask them. I think that they got in Abby Maria's ear, got Abby Maria to vote with them. Spencer might have voted with Kelly and Keith at this vote, but Spencer correctly figured out that Abby Maria wasn't going to be a vote with Kelly and Keith. That plan wasn't going to work, and he stuck to his original alliance rather than making that flip because he knew that the four votes weren't there. So he stuck with the group that maybe he might have not been, wanted to stick with, but once he knew Abby Maria, and if, to try to sway Abby Maria would have been just way too dangerous for him to get involved with. So he knew the Abby Maria swing vote wasn't going to be there, so he stuck with the Jeremy and Tasha side.
Right, and I agree, and I suspect that he knew that because, well, in what I think happened, Tasha told him, hey, I've got Abby Maria going off on this wild Keith chase. And so if Tasha was convinced that she had Abby Maria's vote going the wrong way, then Spencer knew he didn't have the numbers to flip.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of moving parts there. And another moving part, I think, was if Spencer hadn't won immunity, I think he actually would have been in serious danger. Because the other videos that we saw showed Kimmy wanted the Women's Alliance as well.
Mm-hmm.
So if Spencer's available to be voted off, I think Kimmy jumps over with Keith, Kelly, and Abby and votes him off to knock out another guy.
Yeah.
And now you may have the Women's Alliance actually working.
It's definitely a possibility. It's just hard to tell who was in Abby Maria's ear last, who was the person that convinced her to be voting for Keith.
Right, right. Like I said, I put my money on Tasha, but it's possible that we didn't see everything.
Yeah.
Even in the bonus videos.
Okay, so do you feel like this is evidence that Abby Maria is scheming and plotting, or that you feel like that this is evidence that she was more of a person who was manipulated by those who did scheme and plot?
I think she was trying to scheme and plot, but she just wasn't as good at it as many of the others this season.
So in terms of Abby Maria scheming and plotting too much, not really an issue, right?
Well, you might think that. But part of the problem with not being as good a schemer is that you can get actually tagged as someone who's doing it too much. So you're not doing a good job of it, but because you're so obvious about it, people are worried that you're bouncing around. And then people lose their trust in you. And I think that this actually happened with Abby Maria because, you know, another thing that Tasha had said in a bonus confessional was that her inclination is to go with people she can trust and with whom she's had bonds all along. She thought going with Kelly and Abby would not work because she just didn't trust either of them. And while she admitted she might be leery of Spencer, she at least had more trust there.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where a lot of this goes back to the part of the rule that says to keep your scheming secret. We saw how difficult it was for people to deal with Abby Maria because she wouldn't commit or she'd get paranoid and mad. We saw Steven having to deal with this. We saw several other people having to deal with this. And it could leave people wondering what the heck she was going to do. She was a true wild card. And as the numbers got whittled away, people felt less and less comfortable with trusting their games to her. So you may find this to be a familiar situation because it reminded me a lot of the situation with Christy in your season,
mm-hmm.
or with Dolly on Vanuatu. When you can't trust someone, you can't trust that they're going to be loyal to you, it's often best to just vote out the one you can't count on. Because as you know, one line in this rule says, being a swing vote is fine. But you have to convince people that you're with them.
Yeah.
Abby Maria didn't do that here.
I wonder if it maybe might be like a different scenario from a different season that one of my guests was on. When Matt Elrod came back from Redemption Island in Survivor season 22, there was a point where he would have been the swing vote. I believe that it was was it 5-5 and he was the swing at 11. I'm not sure where it was. If he would have whatever alliance Ometepe or Zapatero he would have voted with, he would have given them the majority. And what Rob ultimately did was, even though he came back and swore his allegiance, I think they had 6-5 and he would have made it 6-6 for Zapatero. They ultimately just voted out him as the swing vote, even though he was going to be with their side, allegedly. And Abby Maria, even though she was voting with Jeremy and Tasha, they still took her out as the swing vote at that point, just because they couldn't trust that she wasn't going to flip back to the other group on the next vote.
Well, or even on this vote. I mean, yeah, okay. she went with them this time, but if Kelly had gotten to talk to her before they got to tribal council, or if Tasha had accidentally bumped into her as they were walking into tribal council, or someone had looked at someone else the wrong way during tribal council, you just don't know what Abby Maria was going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that is just too much of a wild card to rely on at this point in the game.
With me, you're dead.
Yeah, that's right. That's right, Abby Maria. Okay, so rule number three is be flexible. Did Abby do a good job of being flexible?
Yeah, I do think she did a good job here. I think she was employing a version of the anybody but me strategy made famous by Sandra.
Yeah.
She wasn't stuck to one alliance or voting bloc in particular, and we saw her turn on people several times. Even when it came to Kelly Wentworth, like you were just talking about, she was probably as tight an ally as Abby Maria ever had. But she saw that at some point, whether it was right now or some later time, she had to go her own way. And Abby Maria said in interviews that she had planned, after the vote, to do some damage control with Kelly and then form the Women's Alliance, take Tasha and Kimmy, who she classified as the real goats, to the end. And so that meant that she would have cut Kelly if it had been up to her. So she was obviously willing to make those flexible moves if they had truly been available to her to make.
Okay, so then rule number four for Abby Maria and all survivors is don't let your emotions control you. How did Abby do with this one?
Well, you know how it was so clear last week that Joe was a threat? It's pretty much equally clear here that Abby Maria let her emotions control her.
Yeah.
Not exactly.
Get over it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Abby Maria is all emotion, you could argue.
Right, right. I mean, even in her day after video, she said she wanted to be in control of her emotions, but she admits it was hard at times and she struggled with it. Yeah, I'd say so. You know, Kelly noted in a bonus confessional that Abby Maria is such an emotional player. If you accidentally say something that rubs her the wrong way, suddenly you don't have the numbers anymore. And this wasn't exactly a huge revelation to those of us watching, but it does show that the players had the same impression as we did.
Yeah. She's so volatile. I mean, she really is the human medallion of power. She could go from one side to the other side to the other side.
I didn't think of it quite that way, but yeah. And, you know, you just played her most famous line this season.
Mm-hmm.
It's, if you F with me, you're dead. It wasn't, if you get in the way of my strategy, you're dead.
Mm-hmm.
It was all personal to her. And we saw her vote that way more than once. Other players may have used her for their voting plans because they knew that they could manipulate her based on her emotions. But she wasn't voting strategy very often.
And then for Abby Maria, if not only if you F with her, if she thinks you F'd with her and you might not have really been effing with her, you're dead.
Right. It's all in the interpretation.
It is uncanny, though, the number of people who went out in this game after having any sort of brush up with her.
Well, yeah, I said last week, I said that was the theme of the season.
Yeah.
You F with her, you're dead.
It really is. All right. Rule number five, pretend to be nice, play the social game. How did Abby do with the social game?
Well, you know, the rule number four led nicely into this because Abby Maria obviously couldn't pretend to be nice by her own admission.
No pumpkin, no.
She said that she hadn't been likable and she hadn't been in swaps where she had made relationships. She also said she knows that she's not someone the others would easily identify with. But, you know, she's just being real. And being real on Survivor is not a great strategy. Well, she's right, but she couldn't help herself. So she did think she had managed to befriend Tasha and Savage, but from what we saw, it was strategic, not friendship. Both of them made comments along the way about how difficult it was to manage her, and this tells me she never really understood where she stood with the other players. And speaking of not understanding, Abby Maria said in numerous interviews, including yours, that her second chance wasn't a fair second chance because she couldn't get away from her first season's impressions in people's mind. And I have two problems with this claim. First, she wouldn't have even gotten her second chance without that impression of her in voters' mind. I mean, she even said on her day after video that she wanted to make fans proud by being the feisty villain. Well, mm-hmm. you can't complain about that and then say you were trying to do it. And second, we saw that she kept acting that way even in this season. Forget about the previous season. It had little or nothing to do with her previous time after those first couple days. So no offense to her, but I really think she's leaning too heavily on her claim that she had a stigma from her first time, and that's why people picked on her. She gave everyone plenty of new material to work with without looking back to her first season. I mean, in one interview, she even claimed that Kelly Wigglesworth said some things to her that sounded like she'd prejudged Abby after watching her first season.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what are the odds of that?
That's funny. Yeah, I do feel like that there were lots of people that wanted to give Abby Maria the benefit of the doubt. I think Shireen notably was somebody who came into this game and wanted to work with Abby Maria. And it was not from anything from Survivor Philippines that ended up hurting that relationship.
No, definitely not.
Let's go to rule number six. Don't be too much of a threat. Now, was Abby Maria in your mind a threat?
Well, that question is a tougher one than usual. She certainly was not a threat in the usual way. She wasn't likely to win challenges. She was the opposite of a threat to win at the end, since she was widely believed to be a jury goat. So where does that leave her? Well, we already discussed part of the answer in the second rule. If you don't know whether you can trust someone because they may switch their vote for little or no reason, that is certainly a threat to your game. And I think Boston Rob talked about how you want to play against people who have motivations that you can understand and work with.
Mm-hmm.
They should want to move ahead in the game through some sort of strategy. But when you're dealing with a wild card like Abby Maria, it's more difficult to figure out what is actually motivating them. Is it winning? Is it getting revenge? It's probably some combination of both, but it's hard to say what she's thinking at any given moment. So as a point of comparison, which I would hope Boston Rob would also appreciate, poker players.
Oh, I thought you were going to quote Descartes.
No. We'll stick with what he's doing now.
Okay.
Now, some poker players say they would rather play in a tournament against a good player rather than a bad one for this very reason. You have some expectation of how a good player will react in a specific set of circumstances, while you have no idea what a bad player will do because they don't necessarily know what they're doing. In situations like this and on Survivor, the unpredictable can be worse than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to that factor, Abby Maria was a threat to certain people's games, in particular, for example, Tasha. And Steven noted that in his blog. Tasha doesn't want a goat around to get in her way because it appears she was telling the truth when she told people she wants a strong threesome to make it to the end. She had said that to Steven previously, and you and I discussed whether or not it might be true, and it does seem that that's the case. Now, this takes us back to what Boston Rob said about how you should want to take goats to the end, but that may be an issue to discuss after Tasha loses, not now.
I also feel like Abby Maria was a threat in that she was going to be somebody who was going to occupy one of those three spots. And I think that people felt like she was a threat in that if we don't get rid of her, she will be in the final three. And potentially one of us, specifically I, won't be in the final three because somebody took Abby Maria instead of me.
Right. And I think that is what Tasha was pushing. I think that most of the rest of them do want one or two goats in the end, but they just don't want Abby Maria to be one of them.
Okay, rule number seven is vote out the weak, then the strong, then the weak, then the strong. Did we circle back to the weak this week?
Well, I think we're right at the boundary of that switch from targeting the strong players to going after the weak. Clearly, the majority thought it was time to switch. And in this case, the weak has the meaning of someone without the protection of a solid alliance or a straggler. And that's what Abby Maria had turned herself into, as she even classified herself at times as a loner, although she thought she was a swing vote loner. I personally questioned whether it was the right time to switch as I was watching, given that there are other strong players who could have been taken out. And while the idea may have been a good one for Tasha under her plan, as I mentioned, I do think you have to aim for the big shots and go to the end with goats. As I watched, I didn't really understand why Spencer in particular went along with the plan because, I mean, he can't really think going to the end with Tasha and Jeremy is a good idea.
I think that Spencer wanted to go with Kelly and Keith, but I think that Jeremy or Tasha convinced Abby that she was going to vote with them, that Keldy, she couldn't move further. Maybe that was a bug that somebody put in her ear. She couldn't move forward with Kelly anymore. And that Abby Maria had to stick with them. Spencer realizes that side doesn't have the numbers and Spencer doesn't have a choice anymore.
Right. And so that may have made him go in that direction. And so without being able to jump over to Kelly's side, he probably just didn't have a choice in the matter.
And then he also probably didn't tell Kelly and Keith what was going on. And so it sort of left them out in the cold and potentially burns that bridge of being able, although I think that they would be desperate and would be willing to do whatever if Spencer wanted to come back to them. But I feel like that's got to sting a little bit if he was working with them.
Yeah. And we'll talk about that a little bit more going forward. But I think that in this season in particular, no bridge is ever completely burned.
Voting blocks.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're using steel bridges.
So then let's talk about the appendices. The first of which is do whatever it takes to get idols. Abby Maria was nowhere near an immunity idol in this season. She did have one in Survivor Philippines.
Well, she was actually very near to one. She just didn't realize it when Kelly was looking for the one in the shelter.
That's true.
There. But Abby Maria did say on CBS.com that she could have been more aggressive in trying to find immunity idols. And obviously that is the case. So, yeah, we know she didn't do well enough in that regard.
Okay. And then the final appendix has to do with what to say in the final tribal council. Not so much an issue for Abby Maria.
Right, right. And of course, it also deals with how you get to the final tribal council with the jurors. And as with the vote against Joe the previous week, I don't think the Abby Maria vote had anything to do with managing or seating the jury. It even may be the opposite, because Abby Maria will likely never vote for anyone she believes screwed her over, such as in this case, Tasha. I think if Tasha makes it to the end, she can count on not getting Abby Maria's vote. And so that is one reason that Abby Maria would have been a better jury goat than someone like Keith, because if she's in the finals with you, she can't vote for someone else to win.
Mm-hmm.
So Abby Maria said in interviews that she thought she had created a relationship with Tasha and Savage. And then on Twitter, Abby seemed annoyed with Tasha, saying she thought Tasha would remember what she did for her at Anchor. So, like I said, Tasha, even if she makes it to the final three, no way she gets Abby Maria's vote.
You would not think so.
No. And now, from Abby Maria's standpoint, you know, she was upset about that. I would say back to her that you can't count on someone to give you loyalty just because they used you as a number earlier in the game. But that sort of logic isn't going to hold sway when it comes time for Abby Maria to cast her final vote. All right. So now I think we have the information we need to understand what happened to Abby Maria. In fact, even she had some of the information. She said on CBS.com that if she could change things, two of the things that she would change would be to be more strategic in her gameplay and control her emotions instead of being blunt with people. And she's right on both counts. But as part of being more strategic, she also needed to be less open about her scheming and make people feel more comfortable that she wasn't double dealing them, even if she was. Abby Maria knew that she needed to play the game from a more strategic and less emotional place, but she just couldn't do it. Her volatile nature made her too unpredictable to trust, because you could never be sure she would stick to the plan. Yes. While she might have seemed like the perfect jury goat, the majority of her fellow players felt it was just too dangerous to have somebody like that around. And that is why Abby Maria lost.
Okay. All right, so now let's start to shift our attention to Wednesday night, which, for my money, probably one of the toughest Survivor finales to prognosticate, because we have just so many different variables that we're starting a finale at the final six, which is kind of crazy. Now, look, we've had the Redemption Island stuff before, but typically we have a final five episode and then we come back and it's a final four and somebody comes back from Redemption Island and it's a final five a second time. But here we have an honest to goodness final six heading into the Survivor finale. And the final six can always be kind of tricky as well. So, David, what are you thinking we're going to see on Wednesday?
I think that the bonus confessionals, beyond helping us with this week's vote, those combined with social media, which, you know, I know that argues against what I had said earlier, can give us a fair amount of insight into how the players are thinking as we move into the finale. So what I'd like to do is go over each player to figure out how they get to the end and win, starting with the person I think has the least chance of winning and moving up the ranks.
Okay, go for it.
Well, that means starting with Keith.
Keith.
Yes. As you discussed with Mike Bloom, Keith could possibly have a chance of playing the way he's played and winning on a first-timer season. And there are still a few people on the jury who think like first-timers and that they're more interested in rewarding honor and the like instead of good, strong competitors. But on a returning player season like this, most of them are more interested in strategic gameplay. They want the winner to have played the game, and that is not Keith. On top of that, I think that they will likely, and by they I mean the other players, of course, not the jurors, be targeting Keith pretty quickly in the finale if he doesn't win immunity. That's largely because they are worried he may win out. I mean, Kelly mentioned in a bonus confessional that she needs to keep in mind how good he is in challenges.
Mm-hmm.
Tasha did the same thing and even specifically noted that he's a credible threat. He could possibly win the rest of the immunity challenges, and you can't let him get that far. You might think it would be okay if he wins out because then he would be a goat taking himself to the end. But the problem is similar to what the other players faced with Abby Maria. They don't know how he'd vote. He would use Keith logic.
Mm-hmm.
And that could result in just about anybody moving forward. It's safer to remove him and attempt to control your own destiny at the next point.
I mean, if Keith did get to the end, let's say he won the next three immunities. I mean, he'd have four immunities and a reward challenge win. Like, I feel like that there's definitely going to be some people that that's appealing to. I don't know enough if there's going to be that appealing in a 10-person jury. I definitely feel like he's got, like, the Joe and Wigglesworth vote, and maybe that could be convincing for, like, a Savage vote. That's three, maybe.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, but four might get you it in this 10-person jury.
Well, that's true. If the other two split the vote, that is possible. And I mean, that was always an issue, you know, in American Idol. That was one of my rules with American Idol was don't split the vote.
So wouldn't that be probably a good reason to bring a jury goat like Abby Maria to the end?
Well, like we said, there were reasons plus and minus. But again, it was the lack of predictability mm-hmm. that just made her, you know, the goat you need to sacrifice. And there are a couple of other goats this season, Keith being one of them. But
so do you think that Keith potentially could have gotten to the end, and would he win?
I think he can win his way to the end. I still don't think he can win if he makes it there. And I think that if he loses a challenge, he's out.
If Keith was there with, say, people from the other side, whether you want to say if the Jeremy Spencer Tasha thing holds, and he was there with them, could he be some sort of could the witches vote for him potentially, where he's the almost like the person who is the alternative to that Bion alliance?
The thing is that two of the three witches are also game players.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot imagine that Sierra would yell at people at tribal council to play the game and then vote for Keith to win. It would completely undercut her.
Yeah.
And the same goes for Kelly. She is a strategist. There is no way, however much she might like Keith, that she is going to vote for him to win. Could Abby Maria? Yeah. But that's the only one of the witches that could.
Okay, so then who do you think has the second worst odds of making it all the way to the end and winning?
Well, that would be Kimmy.
Kimmy.
Yeah. And unlike Keith, she can't win challenges to get herself to the end.
No, so pumpkin, no.
Yeah. She just has to hope she's brought along.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's talked recently about wanting to control her own destiny, but I think that ship has sailed. Kimmy said in a confessional that she thinks she's good with herself, Tasha, and Jeremy in a final four, and then she can flop around as necessary. But I can't think of how she would do it. The only thing that makes sense for her making a final three is if two of the other three don't want to face a target like Jeremy or Spencer, and they use her to help get rid of that real target. Her only real chance then is to stick with Jeremy, Tasha, and Spencer for the final six vote, and then flip with Spencer to join Kelly at final five. That might change her destiny, but I simply don't think it would change her chances of winning. Because no matter who she faces at the end, she will lose because she simply doesn't have a good enough story.
It's hard to envision a scenario where she's not in the end with Kelly. If she's at the end, then I feel like she loses to Kelly.
Right. And I can't think of who she beats.
Okay. So let's move past Kimmy. And now let's start to let things get a little more interesting. Who do you have as number four?
I have Tasha as number four.
Okay. I think that makes sense.
Yeah, I said last week that the only way Tasha wins is if she makes it to the end with two goats. And one of those goats is now gone, thanks in large part to Tasha herself, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And that means she would need to find a way to get Keith and Kimmy to the end with her. Now, first of all, that would be incredibly difficult to pull off. But more importantly, it seems she's not even trying to make that happen. You know, as we've discussed, she has said she wants to face off against the strongest competitors. If she's been lying about that and she does something else, then those statements will be held against her at the jury. If she's telling the truth, then the real truth is that she can't beat those strongest competitors. So she has about the same chance of winning right now as Keith or Kimmy does.
Yeah, it's hard to really envision that scenario. I really like that idea of her sort of like taking hold of the Women's Alliance, but it doesn't seem like that's coming together. And I just don't know if what other way she goes where she's going to be able to be the standout. Now, what if she tries to move forward with Jeremy and Spencer, and then one of those guys gets picked off? If Jeremy gets picked off, could she beat Spencer in a final three? If it's, say, Spencer and Kimmy with Tasha, could Tasha win?
No.
She'd lose to Spencer?
I think so.
Spencer's pissed some people off, though.
He is, and I think that will haunt him in certain scenarios, but not against a Tasha and Goat scenario.
But just hear me out here. So, okay, it's Spencer, Kimmy, and Tasha. Who would get the Jeremy vote?
Spencer.
So you know that definitely? I mean, I feel like that he's been closer with Tasha in the game.
Yeah, but I think he's been using people and he recognizes the game for what it is. I just don't see him voting for Tasha because I don't think he views Tasha as necessarily a real player. I think in his mind, she's more of a pawn than a player.
I mean, I think that you could talk yourself into a Tasha win here because I think that she could get the Savage vote here. She could get the Wigglesworth vote here. She could potentially get the Joe vote. I think that there's people in play. Steven's vote. I think Steven, he might vote for Kimmy in that scenario, but maybe not. Maybe he's like, oh, maybe Kimmy didn't do enough, even though he was probably tighter with Kimmy than Tasha. So I do think in this scenario, I think that there are some people that don't love Spencer. And also there could be some people that don't want to vote for Kimmy. I think Tasha, if Tasha was going to win, I feel like this is probably the scenario where it happens.
Yeah, I guess you could talk yourself into it. I really think that Steven, for example, only has one vote if Jeremy's there. That's clear. And if Spencer is there and Jeremy's not, I think he gives it to Spencer. I think that he will recognize it for the game move that it was.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he gave the guy a fishy, you know?
Yeah, but that's way after the fact. I would see him voting Tasha before Spencer, but we'll see. We'll see if it comes to that. All right. Yeah. So then let's talk about then our top three, baby. We have in no particular order, we have Jeremy, we have Kelly, and we have Spencer.
Yeah, these are definitely the tougher ones. I'm going to discuss Kelly next, although it could have just as easily been Spencer in this spot. Unfortunately, I don't see a good path to victory for her, though she certainly has better chances than the previous three we discussed.
Mm-hmm.
And this is mostly for two reasons. First, she's essentially alone now. She may have Keith as much as anyone can have Keith, but she's definitely in the minority and really has nowhere to go. And on top of that, we heard in bonus confessionals that people were worried about her. Even Abby Maria, as we discussed, wasn't sure about keeping Kelly. She reiterated in her interview with you that she would be scared to face Kelly at the end. And if Abby is thinking this as her friend, I have to imagine everyone else is smart enough to see it as well.
Mm-hmm.
On Kelly's post-episode Periscope.
Is this canon Periscope?
Yes, I think it is.
Okay.
Because her mom was there with her and she wouldn't lie in front of her mom.
Okay.
So she said that the faces that she always makes after tribal council, they all have meaning. And in this case, it was because she was pissed at Spencer for saying he'd do something and not doing it. In other words, he didn't vote for her. Okay, we knew that. But, you know, she also tweeted something similar as well. And then Kelly's mom as I said, she was there on the Periscope too. She echoed that she was disappointed in Spencer. Now, I don't know about you, but it was always worse when my mom would tell me she was disappointed than when she got angry.
So Kelly's mom went to Twitter to say she was disappointed in Spencer?
On Periscope.
On Periscope. Okay.
Yeah, it might have been on Twitter too. She does have a Twitter handle. But so Kelly also said on Twitter that she was pissed because she got Stephen Fishbocked that night.
Mm, what does that mean? Severe gastrointestinal distress?
I don't think so. Oh. And I would argue that she didn't quite get the full Fishback treatment because she's still in the game. But, you know, that might not last very long. I think it's the getting promised by Spencer that he will vote a certain way and then not.
Okay. That's getting Fishbacked.
Yes.
Okay.
But I do wonder how much the other players are also paying attention to something that Steven talked about in his blog with relation to Kelly. He noted that a good Survivor player is able to get the jury engaged with their story. And he said, you know, Kelly's a standout in this regard, looking over at them with her over-the-top reactions, generally playing the jury better than anyone else. And, you know, I certainly have noticed this. Most people have. I also noticed at the end of last episode, Sierra looked over at Kelly and kind of made a motion, you know, kind of like the old Carol Burnett tugging on the ear type of thing.
Oh, wow.
So I don't know what kind of signals they're sending back and forth there, other than the acknowledgement of, you know, I'm still with you type of thing. But Steven is giving Kelly very high marks for her overall play and the way she's been working the jury. If the other players have noticed that too, that's one more reason they cannot let her get to the end.
I think that Kelly's path to the end is probably, I think she's behind Keith in the pecking order of the next person to be targeted. I think that Keith is sort of the more omnipresent threat in the challenges. So if Kelly either wins an immunity at six, or if she doesn't win immunity at six, I think, and Keith doesn't win immunity at six, I think that Keith goes before she does. They don't know she has an idol. She could play her idol at five, and that gets her to four. And if she could just win immunity at four, I think that's good enough to get her into the final three.
Well, that's true. I hadn't thought about that particular situation. But if she doesn't go down that path, her only hope is to stick with Keith and flip Spencer. But the problem is that won't work at final six.
Right. She would need to flip Spencer and Kimmy. And Spencer and Kimmy, as we talked about a lot on the voicemail podcast, are sort of diametrically opposed to one another at this point.
Right, right. But like you said, she won't be the first one voted out, because it'll either be Keith, or we get to what Jeff Probst said in the previews. He said something was going to happen for the first time in 31 years. I'm sorry, 31 seasons.
Yeah.
Not 31 years yet. My first horrifying thought was that it meant a final four. But several people pointed out to me on Twitter and, you know, through the podcasts and everything, it was more likely there will be a 0-0 tie when both Kelly and Jeremy play their idols. Mm-hmm. And that's also what I think is going to happen. So one way or another, I think she'll be safe at that vote. But that means the blowback will go elsewhere. If Keith hasn't won immunity, then it's almost certainly him. Okay? And then Kelly's probably screwed for the long run.
But I feel like that 0-0 vote is more likely to happen at 5 than at 6.
It could.
Because 5's the last night you could play the idol. So I feel like then sort of like everybody, the action is forced from everybody. Like, sure, I got an idol. I guess I'll play it. Sure, I got an idol. And if it just so happens that the vote is going to be for one side Jeremy and one side Kelly, then I think that would ultimately force the 0-0 split.
Ah, but what if Keith wins immunity at final six?
Well, I think Keith is gone at six if he doesn't win immunity. So
right. If
Keith won the immunity at six, then Kelly could potentially, you know, play her idol. But it's almost bizarre. Why would Jeremy play his idol at six if he knew he could play it until five and nobody else seems to be working with those? Unless Kimmy has gone to join with Kelly and Keith and is going to force them to draw rocks.
I think that Jeremy could play it once he sees Kelly play it, because you don't have to announce it, you know, all at the same time.
That's fair. So he feels like, okay, if they're going to put their votes on me, I know we put the votes on Kelly. I don't want the votes to come back at me and play my idol.
Right. So if Keith wins immunity and Kelly plays the idol and Jeremy plays the idol, then they revote and we're saying goodbye to either Tasha or Spencer. If it's Tasha, then that could be almost the only way Spencer jumps over with Keith and Kelly at the final five.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that would be a reason for Kelly and Keith to target Tasha. They wouldn't want to target someone like Spencer, who is really the only hope they have. So I think that's a way.
In the revote.
Yes.
Okay. Now you're relying on Keith Nail to make the right move on, you know, a short amount of time without being able to really like take him through the paces of what's going to happen.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, oh, hell, I thought I voted for Kelly. I didn't know. I just thought, you know, she's, you know, I know her.
There's no real logic.
Yeah. But I think it would be in that situation, it would be narrowed down to two people that he could vote for. You know, all Kelly has to do is point at Tasha.
You make it sound so easy.
Yeah. I think it's simple enough that even Keith could do it.
No real logic.
Okay. All right. So then let's talk about Spencer.
I think he's in a great position to come in second.
Come in second. Okay.
Yes. If he sticks with Jeremy and Tasha, he loses to Jeremy but beats Tasha. If he flips with Kelly in some convoluted manner, kind of like the ones we just discussed, he may well lose to Kelly. I do think he has a slightly better chance of beating her than he does of beating Jeremy.
Hmm.
And the main problem I see with Spencer at this point is that if we look at his endgame, the same way Steven was looking at his own earlier in the season, I don't see that Spencer has much of a Venn diagram overlap of circles of who he can trust and who he can beat.
Yeah.
They're almost two completely different lists, with maybe Tasha as the only one in that intersection. And that's not going to win the game for him.
I feel like Spencer really would have benefited by keeping Abby Maria around.
Yeah, but I think that the problem was Abby Maria. I mean, if they could have convinced her that that was the best move for her, then yes, it might have helped him as well. But again, it goes back to her being uncontrollable.
Okay, so give me Spencer's best chance to get to the end. What's his best final three?
Well, his best final three are Tasha and Keith.
Okay.
I don't know how he would ever get to a final three with Tasha and Keith. Yeah. I guess Kimmy and Keith. Yeah. But again, I don't have any idea how that happens.
And I think he's definitely got a shot at this thing with Tasha in the mix as well.
Right. Now, a more reasonable final three with him in it that he could have a shot at is if he does make that flip somewhere along the line somehow and end up with like Keith and Kelly.
That being said, if he flips on Jeremy and Tasha and Kimmy, does he lose those three jury votes?
Yes.
So what you're saying is basically
Spencer has zero chance of winning this game.
Not quite.
I'd put it at slightly more than zero, but not a whole lot.
Spencer took it right on the chin.
Yeah, it's tough for Spencer. It really is hard to sort of like finagle this because he's really in that spot where if he makes the flips, then he's gonna like piss people off. He's kind of in that Jervis scenario.
Yeah, I mean, there are possibilities there. You know, I think he could get Steven's vote. You know, maybe he can get.
We'll agree to disagree about that.
Right. No, we'll disagree. To disagree, which could mean we agree. I'm not sure. But he could get a couple of other votes there, but he's certainly not getting Wigglesworth's vote. He's not getting Savage's vote. He's not getting Tasha's vote because we know that, you know, she especially would take that pretty personally, unless there is one possible way that, you know, that happens. And that's if he doesn't actually pull the trigger on voting Tasha off. If Tasha goes home in that weird scenario, that 0-0 vote like we were talking about,
mm-hmm.
then maybe she doesn't hold it against Spencer completely.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I just think Kelly gets more votes.
Hey, let's talk about Jeremy. Jeremy,
yeah.
We've pretty much said all season long, if he gets to the end, he looks really good.
Yeah, I think he's had the closest thing to a winner's edit throughout the season, and I even spent a while predicting him to be the winner.
Oh, snap!
Yeah. I mean, what might be the most interesting and telling thing is that nobody was talking about being worried about Jeremy in their bonus scenes. We never heard him mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
But we do know that most of them have him in their plans for a final three or four. So most of them are willing to take him along and they're not worried about him.
It's so weird.
I don't understand this.
Because in San Juan del Sur, that was all people worried about was we can't go to the end with Jeremy because if we go to the end with Jeremy, we'll lose. But it really hasn't come up once the whole season.
Right. And, you know, so Tasha wants to take him to the end. Kimmy wants to take him potentially to the end at this point. Spencer may want to take him to the end. And even if one of them makes a move on him early, you know, as we talked about, he has that immunity idol. So, you know, if he does make it to the end, he has a great strategic story, a great emotional story, and a great family story to tell. Okay. He automatically gets Steven's vote.
Yeah.
No doubt in my mind.
No doubt.
He probably gets Savage's vote unless Tasha is against him. And maybe even then he still gets Savage's vote. Joe did seem to be pissed at him, but that's about the only juror we know of who harbors ill will against him.
And it was slight, I feel like.
Right, right. The more I think about it, Jeremy seems like almost a lock to win if he can make it to the end.
So for all these people that have played with him this season and have not thought about trying to get him out, is it fair to say?
These guys are so dumb.
That is fair to say, actually.
Yeah. Good call, Jeremy.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how he has just sailed along and he has been putting himself in the right place. You know, we may be, you know, writing why Jeremy won as we're talking here.
Mm-hmm.
So I just don't see how he loses if he makes it to the end.
I agree. So is Jeremy the chalk pick for Wednesday night?
Yeah, he is definitely my final prediction, with my backup prediction in the case of the double idol blowback weird situation would be Kelly.
You could sort of figure out a way for her to do it. And then for everybody else, who's the best of the pack?
Who's the best of the pack to win?
Yeah,
or
to win. Who, if you had a third pick?
I guess Spencer, because at least he has slightly more than a 0.00 chance.
Okay. All right. Well, it should be a very exciting show on Wednesday night.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be a blockbuster end to a very fun season, I think.
All right, David, what do you think about a hashtag? How about Abby Murphia?
I like it.
Okay.
I like it.
Not for Daniel Murphy.
No. How do you spell that?
It's A-B-I-M-U-R-P-H-I-A. Abby Murphia.
All right. All right.
Yeah. And if you spell it wrong, you're dead to me.
With me, you're dead.
Okay, so then also David and I will chat at some point after the finale, and we will discuss why blank won and also why everybody else lost. That will be coming up next week, so we will get into this one more time after the season is over.
Absolutely.
It's going to be very fun. And then, of course, you can follow David Bloomberg on Twitter. He's at David Bloomberg.
Nice and simple.
There you go. All right, David, anything else?
No, I'm just gathering up all of my Survivor gear. You know, I've got my Survivor Heroes versus Villains t-shirt, my Survivor Amazon buff.
Wow.
My Survivor keychains from various seasons, my audience pass from Thailand, my party pass from All Stars, and I even have the very rare Survivor trading card game.
And you take it all out for finale night?
Absolutely.
Wow. And what do your kids say?
My kids ignore me.
Yeah. All right. Well, I can relate. All right. Well, David, thank you so much.
No problem. No problem.
All right. Take care. Bye.
Okay. Bye.
All right, everybody. There you have it. That was David Bloomberg here on the podcast. And we are just about ready to switch into coverage of the finale, which is going to be beginning this Wednesday night. Just a little slight change to the plan. We are not ultimately sticking to one plan, but we're looking for the best plan. And we're being flexible. I believe that's rule number three. And so what we are going to do is, since I don't have a ton of faith in the wireless internet working, we're not going to do the know-it-alls live from the finale. Instead, Josh Wigler and I will record our show from the finale, and we will be there on the red carpet talking with all the people from the final six that are there and anybody else that comes by. It's going to be a really, really fun podcast, and we are going to be recording that, and then we're going to be posting that shortly after we record it. Once we get back to an internet connection, we'll have video, we'll have the audio, all that's going to be in your podcast feed, and we'll get the video up on our YouTube channel. But in the meantime, we've got a great opening act for you guys on Wednesday night. Jordan Parhar is going to be with Jessica Leese, and they're going to be live at 11:15 p.m. If you want a show for right when the episode ends, they're going to be there live to take your questions and covering everything, the first reactions to it all. And then Josh and I will have our show uploaded to you guys very soon thereafter. Hopefully by the time you guys are going to work in the morning on Thursday, we should have everything up for you guys to check out. Then we'll do exit interviews. Plus Josh Wigler and I will take your voicemails about the finale coming up on Thursday. So much stuff going on in about, 24, 36 hours there between Wednesday and Thursday. Very excited about it all. It's going to be a huge night. It's going to be a lot of fun. Looking forward to hearing your comments on robeswebsite.com. And as always, thanks to you guys who've been using our link for the amazon.com this holiday season. Greatly appreciated. Have a good one. Take care. Bye.